The summer of discontent. That's how many Marinites will remember July and the new $3 toll. Ravi Paramon explains.
Golden Gate commuters, open your wallets up. It costs another buck to get into town today. So how does that feel?
Enough is enough, right?
I think it's too high. But I don't use the bridge.
Somebody's got to pay for it.
Well, he is right, of course.
You got to pay for the upkeep, maintenance, and operation.
Carney Campion is general manager of the Golden Gate Bridge District, the chief gatekeeper, if you will.
Our mission is to keep traffic moving on those six lanes.
But Susan Deluxe, with the Marin United Taxpayers Association, says the Bridge Board is failing its other mission, that of fiscal responsibility.
These deficit spending addicts are pickpocketing us again instead of trimming the fat from their budget, beginning with them.
MUTA favors another group of gatekeepers, either Caltrans or a North Bay Transit Authority. Carney Campion's reaction?
There's a better way to do the transit and deliver the services and keep traffic moving on this corridor, on this bridge, that they're open to suggestions.
But in the meantime...
Well, I'm urging motorists to hand them a teabag with their toll and let them know that we won't tolerate being ripped off as part of the cost of living in Marin.
Ravi Paramon, KSFO, KYA News.
On July 11th, the world witnessed a spectacular event. It was free of charge, and scientists called it the solar eclipse of the century.
I think it's fantastic.
Too much fun.
A wonderful thing to be able to experience seeing.
Something that looks like something just took a bite out of it. I wonder how it tasted. Probably pretty hot.
Well, the moon's shadow spread a blanket of darkness that stretched 9,000 miles. It frightened some who thought surely the world was coming to an end.
4 days later, an environmental disaster grabbed headlines and pulled at heartstrings. A Southern Pacific freight train derailed near Dunsmuir, dumping thousands of gallons of toxic weed killer into the pristine Upper Sacramento River.
It was a tremendous disappointment to see mile after mile of highly polluted water, to see a concentration so great that from a helicopter at some points you could even smell it.
The head of California's Environmental Protection Agency, Jim Strock, 60 miles of Interstate 5 was shut down in the area, and people were evacuated because of a toxic cloud of gas.
The visible impact is certainly more severe than I had anticipated, and I think it has not dissipated to the effect that we had thought it might.
And more than 5 months later, hundreds of residents in the Dunsmuir area are reporting health problems, repeated nosebleeds, trouble breathing, all in the wake of that devastating chemical spill.
July 16th, the focus was on Sacramento, as months of wrangling over a new state budget finally ended. Governor Wilson signed the spending plan just 16 minutes before the midnight deadline. It included a $2.3 billion tax hike for the wealthy.
This entire budget contains more reforms than any budget in the history of this state.
Including a watered-down version of the workers' comp program that Wilson had to swallow hard to sign.
Well, the boys of summer were busy in July. The Expos' Dennis Martinez threw a perfect game against the Dodgers, and former Oakland A Ron Hassey caught it.
It's been this way all year. I mean, there's only been one or two games that he hasn't had the kind of stuff he had today, but pretty much all year he's been consistent.
And Hassey made history as well. He has now caught two perfect games in the majors.
August started out on a sad note with the death of highly respected veteran newsman Harry Reasoner. One of the founders of the CBS News magazine 60 Minutes, Reasoner died August 6th of cardiac arrest at the age of 68.
Pee Wee Herman found himself in deep trouble in August. The wacky children's TV show host was arrested for allegedly exposing himself in an adult theater. Fans reacted with everything from disgust to humor. As Paul Rubens agreed to a plea bargain with no jail time but lots of community service.
One of the hostages was released in Lebanon in August. 34-year-old John McCarthy had been in captivity for 5+ years. He was working as a British journalist at the time of his capture.
Here at home, commuters were greeted with this news on August 9th.
A sick out on six Bay Area bridges this morning. State employees are staging a bout of the blue flu, upset with Governor Wilson's plan to cut their pay and benefits. At the Bay Bridge...
Well, it started last night, people calling in for the graveyard shift. But we were able to cover the shift, so graveyard was fine, but we have a little problem now, but we're facing it. We're doing all right.
Captain John Sant at the Bay Bridge, he says he'll try to open all the toll booths with management and standby employees. Now let's go live to Joe McConnell with a traffic update.
It looks like that sick out is happening, Deb, because there's only about 4 of the 25 normal toll takers right now at the Bay Bridge toll plaza. The rest of them have called in sick. Dumbarton Bridge, you got about half of them there. They say there's enough to cover it. But what Caltrans' Greg Vail is telling me is that where you don't have a human being at the toll booth, you will have a bucket, and you will be on the honor system to throw your money in and continue on.
Luckily, the job action took place on a lighter-than-normal commute day.
Jobs of a different kind were on the line in August when it looked like the Oakland Tribune was going out of business after 117 years. There was shock and disbelief.
Being without that is really going to be the thing that shakes this town.
But Oakland's only daily newspaper was able to work out a deal with creditors and get a $5 million shot in the arm from the nonprofit Freedom Forum.
California's new insurance commissioner took a gutsy stand in August. He ordered the insurance industry to comply with Prop 103 and roll back rates some $2.5 billion. John Garamendi also called for the promised rebates to policyholders. Most checks are still in the mail somewhere.
The big international story in August was the coup in the Soviet Union.
The coup leaders didn't fulfill their crime plots up till the end, and they failed to bring the army against the people.
Soviet leader Gorbachev through an interpreter. The coup was staged by disgruntled Politburo members, right-wingers who wanted a return of communism and were counting on the Soviet people to back them. Now, Gorbachev was on vacation when the coup leaders placed him under house arrest.
Russian President Boris Yeltsin called on the people to topple the coup, and in dramatic fashion, thousands poured into the streets of Moscow. Later, when the coup was over and arrests had been made, Gorbachev told his people the country was collapsing, and he threatened to resign if a union of sovereign states was not preserved.
I'm for a renewed union, a reformed union, but I'm for maintaining it. I think it expresses the will of the people, and I will not accept anything else. If something else is done, I will resign.
Gorbachev in a speech to the Soviet legislature on August 27th.
The month ended happily for many with a happening. It was the 25th anniversary of the Beatles' last concert.
Bobby Hebb was there singing Sonny, and the Ronettes were there, and then the Beatles came on, and it was fantastic.
One of the thousands remembering the 1966 concert the KYA sponsored at Candlestick Park.
The Soviet Union continued to unravel in September. On the second day of the month, President Bush made it clear that the United States would re-recognize the independence of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia.
The United States has always supported the independence of the Baltic states and is now prepared immediately to establish diplomatic relations with their governments. The United States is also prepared to do whatever it can to assist in the completion of the current process of making Baltic independence a factual reality.
And Bush added that the U.S. never recognized the forced incorporation of the Baltic states into the Soviet Union.
Two close friends made history in September. Mark Wellman and Mike Corbett climbed Yosemite's Half Dome. No small feat, considering Wellman is a paraplegic. And after 13 grueling days in bad weather, they reached their goal.
It's great, you know. It's just feels great to get off all your climbing equipment off, and we're up on top.
Now, Wellman once again proved that the sky is the limit for anyone, regardless of handicap. He and his partner climbed Yosemite's El Capitan 2 years earlier.
A deadly disease brought us back to Earth in September, Legionnaire's disease. Workers in the Social Security Administration building in Richmond were showing the symptoms.
Two of those probables have now been moved to the category as confirmed with Legionella.
And health officials said one person, a janitor, died from it. Some 800 employees were moved out of the building to another site as a multi-million-dollar cleanup began to rid the building of the deadly bacteria. It made all of us think about the safety of our own work environment and the possibility of a sick building.
Another hostage was released in September, 77-year-old former British pilot Jack Mann.
I've never been here and to be free.
The man was released September 24th after 28 months in captivity. He told the world he was kept in chains and not allowed to speak for much of his ordeal.
A doctor died on this day in September, a doctor who gave the world the best medicine, laughter. Theodore Seuss Geisel was Dr. Seuss. His green eggs and ham and the Grinch who stole Christmas and others will always tickle us no matter what our age. Geisel was 87.
There was another name in the news in September, Charles Ng. The suspected mass murderer was extradited from Canada to California after 6 years of legal wrangling. And for Sharon Saletto, the sister of one of the victims, tortured and slain in a Wilsonville cabin, there was relief.
To finally find out what happened to my brother, find his body, hopefully, and have a decent burial. Lock Ng up and get on with their lives.
Ng and his partner, Leonard Lake, allegedly killed 12 people in the 1980s. Lake committed suicide in 1985. Ng fled to Canada and was arrested for another crime.
September ended with anger from gays and lesbians.
They will hit us, they will attack us, but we will win.
They were upset by Governor Wilson's veto of a bill to outlaw job discrimination against homosexuals, and they vowed to stay in his face.
The caravan is leaving from the Safeway parking lot at 8:30 in the morning, where we're going to Stanford University, where our governor will be speaking.
And they disrupted Wilson's speech and called him names, and he fired back.
Fascist tactics did not win at Stanford today, and they never will.
Wilson says he vetoed the law because it would create too many burdens on employers, and gays and lesbians are already protected under existing laws in California.
October opened with the most captivating of stories, a black female law professor accusing a Supreme Court nominee of sexual harassment.
I think the issue has been blown way out of proportion.
I don't think either one of them are telling the truth.
Everyone had an opinion, and many, men and women, said they'd been sexually harassed at work. All along, Judge Clarence Thomas denied the charges.
Mr. Chairman, I am a victim of this process. There is nothing this committee, this body, or this country can do to give me my good name back.
After a riveting testimony from both sides, the vote.
On this vote, the yeas are 52 and the nays are 48. The nomination of Clarence Thomas of Georgia to be Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court is hereby confirmed.
And the truth may never be known.
Violence marred October when a man burst into a Killeen, Texas cafeteria and started shooting.
He just opened fire on everybody, just started shooting anything that moved.
Now, one man was so frightened he spent hours cowering inside a dishwasher. 22 people died, including the gunman who killed himself.
16 tons. What do you get? Another day
older. Tennessee Ernie Ford died in October. The old pea picker, as he was lovingly known, passed away in Virginia at the age of 72.
Mother Nature showed her angry side in October, much like she did 2 years earlier with the earthquake. This time, it was the costliest firestorm in U.S. history, and it leveled much of the Oakland-Berkeley Hills.
Winds just brought it down from above. It didn't move along the ground. It just came down on roofs, and there was a house below us that started burning. Our house started burning. Houses up the hill, down the street, everywhere. Very sudden.
Loss of lives and the damage to homes and apartments was incredible.
3,400 have been completely destroyed or badly damaged. Those include both single-family homes and condominiums and rentals.
It leaves you speechless. We have friends, people we've known since we've lived here. Their houses are gone.
I can't believe it. It's just complete devastation.
We're trying to remain somewhat optimistic. Everybody's okay in the family, but you sift through, you find something you never really cared about, and now it's a prized treasure.
Our Larry Brownell surveyed the damage after it was over.
The words just can't describe this wasteland, which once was a community of about 400 townhouses and expensive homes. Every single structure up here behind the Claremont Hotel was burned to the ground, and that's exactly what I mean. There aren't even any chimneys sticking up, just total black and gray rubble wherever you look. Mike Ziegler said he knew his home was gone, but he just had to see for himself.
Now I can understand how people are always asking for the remains from Vietnam or from the war in Desert Storm. Just to know that the missing parts, you got to actually see them and not have someone tell you. Because we were trying to get up here yesterday. They're saying, why do you want to go up there? There's nothing up there. So we just want to see it.
Now another resident told me that even television pictures can't show you just how terrible it really is. Larry Brownell, KSFO, KYE News.
One victim, Ray Merkel, expressed the anguish of so many.
I'm ready to cry. We just moved into this house a month ago. We lost our house in the earthquake in the marina. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to feel.
And he felt at that moment he couldn't continue living in the Bay Area.
My four-year-old's been in therapy since the earthquake because he watched our house collapse and burn and had nightmares for forever. And now he's got to deal with this. And I'm not willing to take another chance staying here. I'm afraid for his mental health.
Fingers are still pointing in the aftermath of the firestorm.
Fire is currently under investigation. I can tell you that we know an exact origin of the fire, and at this point it's classified suspicious in nature.
And fire officials say that's where it stands even today.
The man who created Star Trek died in October.
Science fiction is a playground for the imagination.
And Gene Roddenberry knew science fiction as well as anybody. Star Trek was on TV for just 3 seasons in the 60s, but came back to be the most successful syndicated show in history. Gene Roddenberry died October 25th at the age of 70.
And Bill Graham went to that great rock concert in the sky in October. His staff vowed to keep the company Bill Graham Presents alive.
And we're going to keep doing it, keep doing shows and keep giving people quality entertainment and the quality of life in San Francisco that only people like Bill Graham and Phil Burton and George Moscone and Harvey Milk gave us.
Graham's death in a helicopter accident on a foggy Friday rainy night deeply touched many as a massive rock concert in his name just days later proved.
The month ended on a happy note for some of us. The Minnesota Twins won the World Series.
Yeah.
The contest went to 7 games, almost 21 hours of the tomahawk chop.
Love that chop. But only one team could truly go from worst to first. Twins manager Tom Kelly was a gracious winner.
My eyes, it's unfortunate that anybody had to lose this series because it was a classic in every aspect.
The Twins enjoy the fruits of victory and their second World Series parade in 4 years.
Stills, Nash, and Young reunited in November for a tribute to the late rock promoter Bill Graham. It was a blockbuster free concert at the Polo Fields in Golden Gate Park. 250,000 people swayed in the sunshine and listened to the Grateful Dead and John Fogerty.
And Graham's son David read a letter from Mick.
Contagious enthusiasm leaves a gaping hole. I feel great sadness in his passing, but great joy in his memory. Have a wonderful day. With love, Mick Jagger.
And one final ovation. Closed the chapter in history for Bay Area rock music fans.
Well, Magic Johnson dropped a bombshell in November. He revealed to the world that he had the AIDS virus.
You think it could never happen to you. You only thought it could happen to, you know, other people and so on and on. And it has happened, but I'm going to deal with it, and my life will go on.
But not on the court for the Lakers. Johnson hung up his Lakers jersey and took up the crusade for safe sex. And his forthrightness won praise.
I just can't tell you the high regard that I have for this athlete, and I can empathize with him. I did catch a little bit of it on television, his statement here, saw the heartbreak of some of the kids that idolize him, and so it's a tragedy.
Bush named Magic to his National Commission on AIDS, and Johnson accepted. Later, upon reflection, many Americans said it was wrong to put the basketball great on a pedestal for contracting a disease during years of one-night stands with female fans.
Shots rang out on the night of November 13th. 3 Loomis armored car employees were killed by would-be robbers at the company warehouse in Vallejo. And Larry Brownell went to the scene.
Well, Loomis officials told Vallejo Police Chief Jerry Galvin there is no money missing from their vaults, which reinforces his belief that the robbery was interrupted by a Loomis truck pulling up to the gate and the quick response of his officers to the driver's call for help.
Because of the alarm and because of the act that the truck arrived almost at the same time frame leads us to believe that it was interrupted, remembering that the alarm would be sounded by someone else inside the facility and not by those that would be outside the facility.
Now, a bag of money was found outside the warehouse door, which is another reason why Chief Galvin thinks the bandits were interrupted. But he can't imagine why they killed the 3 guards. Larry Brownell, KSFO, KY News.
And Vallejo police were shocked at the callousness of the killings.
I can say they were executed. They were defenseless at the time that they were shot.
Were they tied up, Chief?
They were defenseless at the time, and you can conclude from that that they were bound.
There are clues today, but no suspects in custody.
There was another mass shooting in a post office building in November.
The gunman was carrying a long rifle, entered the back of the building where about 100 postal workers were starting the day. The Royal Oak Post Office is the main distribution center for suburban Detroit. He was apparently disgruntled over changes in the workers' contract that shortened their off time and made them spend more time on the road.
And those who knew him described the fired postal worker as a waiting time bomb. He had joked days earlier about last month's mass shooting in Killeen, Texas, saying that he would do the same.
About 12 people or so rushed out of there screaming, "Call the police, somebody's shooting." So I backed off out of there. While I was doing that, I heard at least 8 or 10 shots pop.
Thomas McElvain killed 3 and wounded 6 before killing himself.
The three-year investigation into the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 came to a head November 14th. The Justice Department announced indictments against two Libyan terrorists.
Today's indictment is a landmark and sends a powerful message. We have the resolve and we have the ability to track down, no matter how long it takes, those responsible for terrorist acts against Americans.
Acting Attorney General William Barr, Libya has since refused to turn over the men, calls the investigation biased. 270 people died when the Pan Am plane was blown out of the sky over Lockerbie, Scotland, 3 years ago.
Death played a big part in David Gardner's decision to resign as president of the University of California in November. He said he couldn't do the job anymore without his late wife, Libby.
Her involvement was an indispensable aspect of whatever accomplishments I have attained to and whatever successes I've enjoyed.
The 58-year-old Gardner had been head of the nine-campus UC system since August of 83.
The country turned toward politics in November with a runoff election for governor of Louisiana. David Duke, the former Nazi and KKK leader, versus a man with a shaky past of his own, Edwin Edwards. But the focus was on Duke, and the Democrat Edwards took advantage of it.
David Duke has been saying that the pollsters can't tell about his strength because he flies below radar. 48 hours from now, he's going to crash.
And he did. But just days later, he picked up the pieces of his shattered campaign and declared himself a candidate for the Republican nomination for president.
Hostages Thomas Sutherland and Terry Waite were freed on November 18th, both men in remarkably good health, considering their ordeal, and Waite with his warm sense of humor intact.
When I got to Cyprus, late at night, all I had to say to the RAF was, can you find a pair of size 14s? And within half an hour, they contacted the Navy and provided me with two barges.
Now, the men said they were kept in chains almost the entire time, in dark, dank cells or apartments with bars on the windows.
After about, I think, a year and a half, they put us into a pretty bad situation in individual cells, underground, very little light, and I was a bad boy once, and so they gave me a bit of a biffing. And I asked for it, I guess. I disobeyed their rules, and I was very depressed at that point.
But Sutherland said they did have some mental escapes.
Harry Anderson, who is a voracious reader, he just insisted that he had to have books. And he kept at them so consistently and so thoroughly that finally they started piling in books, and I think he must have read several thousand by this time.
And Sutherland looked on the positive side after it was over.
I learned a great deal of tolerance. I learned an enormous amount of patience. I've never spent 3 hours sitting on my duff against the wall just waiting for somebody to decide what the next move is. And it was always a case of hurry up and wait.
After a medical checkup at the American Military Hospital in Wiesbaden, Germany, Sutherland came to the Bay Area for Thanksgiving with his family. And Larry Brownell was there to meet him at the airport.
Sutherland arrived with his wife and two of his daughters from Frankfurt, Germany, by way of Dallas, Texas. Then there was a motorcade from San Francisco to the home of his other daughter, Ann, who lives in Berkeley. Although she's 9 months pregnant and had some false labor pains in the morning, Ann came to the airport to see her father, and that seemed to make him especially happy.
We've had a great time down there getting reacquainted with Anne and meeting Simone for the first time and her dad for the first time and Alex for the first time. And it's been great.
Now, during a half-hour news conference which followed, Sutherland shocked most of us when he said he'd like to go back to Beirut rather soon and return to his teaching job at the American University there. Larry Brownell, KSFO KYEDU.
Well, there was a horrible accident in California over the Thanksgiving weekend, a massive pileup during a dust storm on Interstate 5.
First reports indicate there's approximately 100 vehicles involved. There's 50 or more injuries.
Now, that was the CHP early on. When the wreckage was untangled, reality hit. 17 were dead and 150 injured in the carnage near Coalinga.
Well, let's end the month on a happy note, or notes. Michael Jackson ended 2 years of silence with his much-ballyhooed Black or White video. He was bad, which was good, but he was also controversial, dancing suggestively and fiddling with his fly. After complaints by parents, he agreed to edit that part out, and the beat went on.
The nation got a Christmas present in December. The last hostages in Lebanon were released. First, Joseph Sosipio, then Alan Steen, and finally, Terry Anderson. Steen and his wife were emotionally overwhelmed.
great to be out. I don't think I can find words right now to express all that I feel.
Told him I loved him, and I just that we thank God our family's all okay, and I told him he's a grandfather. He didn't know that.
And Anderson shared with us how he endured almost 7 years in captivity.
There were times when I was near despair. I don't think I ever quite gave up. Thankfully, the first book I got a few months after I got there was the Bible.
Realizing their prayers had been answered, Anderson's family could finally celebrate.
I'm glad he's well, and I'm glad he's back, and I'm glad he's going to have a wonderful Christmas with his family.
Rusty Ruth, Terry's Grass Valley cousin.
San Francisco chose a new mayor in December.
The city's former police chief billed himself as the average Joe, fed up with panhandlers, dirty streets, and a guy named Art who wouldn't listen.
He said that if I were elected, he would work with me to restore San Francisco to a spirit of harmony and peace.
And Jordan will also need to make peace with the city's liberal board of supervisors.
There was dirty talk on the TV in December.
All I know is he had me down, he pushed my dress up, he pushed my panties aside and raped me.
The world watched as a young woman tearfully testified she'd been raped by William Kennedy Smith.
You told us that Will assaulted you on the lawn.
He raped me.
That's what you said yesterday, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, during this event, was he able, at least according to your testimony, able to maintain an erection?
But the jury believed Smith's story, that his accuser was a nut.
He said to Patrick, gosh, this is a really, I just had a really frightening night, and this is a, this woman's a real nut.
Now, Smith was acquitted, and Uncle Teddy admitted he should have stayed home that fateful night instead of asking the boys to go out drinking.
President Bush turned the lights on the national Christmas tree in December. 5 former American hostages were there to celebrate freedom and the spirit of Christmas.
And with that, we'll leave you on a happy note, as we like to do.
Any wishes for 1992, Jenny?
Well, I think I'd like to win the lottery, and if I do, I'll take care of all of you.
You will share.
I promise.
Thank you.
How about you, Dave?
One big wish, that all our news is good news.
All right. And how about the rest of you?
Yeah, a better economy, that we'd get out of the recession.
Get a better job or something.
Happy and a healthy year.
And I hope we get some rain.
Improvement in a lot of the social problems that we have in this country.
I have somebody that I recently met, and I hope that we can go somewhere with our relationship for a change in San Francisco, which I look forward to with our new mayor.
I guess health, prosperity, and enjoying life.
Ditto. Happy New Year, everyone.
From all of us at KSFO KYA-FM.